Hello and welcome to the Aparo Effect. I am Blima Bershad, Aparo's Director of Marketing, and I'm excited to continue a series of conversations that we've had with nonprofit leaders to talk about their nonprofit career journey, their career journeys in general, and what led them to the roles where they are today, hopefully to inspire many of you to join us in working for nonprofits. So I will let my guest begin by introducing herself.
Thank you, Blima. I am Karen Rosenfeld. I'm the development associate at Aparo, and I've been here about a year, almost a year and a half, but it's certainly not my first foray into the nonprofit space. I actually started my first job. I was 14 years old. My mom sat on the board of the Dallas Jewish Coalition for the Homeless, and they started one of the first daycare centers for homeless children, so their parents could go look for jobs. And it was one of the first in the country. It was a Vogtle alcove, and I stuffed donation letters. I literally entered in donations and stuffed thank you letters, which is something what I do today sometimes. So, and I was 14. It was several years ago, but that was my first foray into nonprofit.
14. So, what'd you like about it back then?
It was so fulfilling. I got, first of all, you get to be in an office. I mean, some of my friends were had paper routes or things like that, but my mom would drop me off at the office after school from like 3 to 6 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I don't even remember what I got paid, but I was a pay, it was my first paid job, and it was so great to be, you knew good things were happening, and you knew that you were a part of something bigger. So while I didn't understand stewardship or donor retention or anything like that, I just knew that we were saying, hey, so and so made a donation on your behalf. Thank you so much to the donor. And this was made. And I knew that my piece was very small, but it made a difference. And then it was also great because sometimes I would come when they were having their board meeting and you saw all these like major names in the community or these professionals, and you go, okay. And I would wear my little suit that day, and I felt so good to be, granted, I was on the other side doing my donations, but it just, you knew that you were in a good group of people, and you knew you were making such a difference to the community. And the opportunities I had when we saw the daycare center be built and the programs that it started, you're like, I helped contribute to that in a very small way.
In a pretty significant way, I think. And your mom must have been quite an inspiration then too. Did she talk to you about what she loved about it?
It's funny because it was my mom was more lead by example. So she would had her I was very fortunate because even though she worked, she was still home for us. She worked kind of on a part-time basis, but she has this love for her community. So whether she is working on a board like that or she's just volunteering, she was a docent for the George Bush Presidential Library for many, many years. She served on synagogue boards and things like that. And it was never like, it was just lead by example. And she's done that in so many different ways and aspects of her life. And that's where she's a role model.
Nice. That's a very nice beginning. And did you stay in nonprofit then forever and ever? Did you have other nonprofit jobs when you were in high school? Did you study fundraising in college? What kind of how was the beginning of your career after that?
Well, it's really funny because shortly after, I mean, I wasn't there very long, maybe a year, probably like a year or 2 years. And then I was really, really active in high school. I was fortunate enough to belong to two Jewish youth groups. And one, the B'nai B'rith Youth Organization, commonly known as BBYO, I was really, really active. So much so, I mean, I helped from the moment I joined as a freshman, ninth grader, I was our class's treasurer. And I sold blow pops. I've always been the treasurer. I don't know what it was, but I would walk those halls of school. I always sold, it was like 25 cents for, 4 for a dollar. Teachers hated me because there are kids with their, blow, their lollipops with the gum in them. And but I was so involved that I was fortunate enough to do leadership training with them. I was fortunate enough, I served as president of my chapter. I was a chapter sweetheart. So, and then I went on to be an advisor during college. I was an advisor for the organization. I went on to be a regional director for the organization. I moved to Cincinnati, Ohio, and worked for them, and just had this love of youth programming. I think that it is so important to that we start with those when our teenagers, I mean, there's so much potential, and it was great because I got to travel to Israel, and you're learning about leadership while you're sitting in the Knesset, and you're learning about history where at Mossad, and you're just getting this installed, you don't realize it, but you're getting this installed belief in something greater than yourself, leadership so that you can lead your peers. And the sense of not just nonprofit, but there's something greater. And that's, I've always been, I want to make a difference. I have been in motivated. There are some people, and my brother is one of them, that they are motivated by their end game, their end dollar. Where are they going to go? What's it coming to? And I really just want to make a difference. I want to feel good. When I put my head at on the pillow at night, did I make a difference somewhere? And I feel, especially working at Aparo, I know that I do. And I do it in other aspects of my life, but I just, something about working in nonprofit. And I didn't always. After college and after being an advisor for BBYO, I went to work for them. But then I said, I came home and I said, I really need to figure this out. And I fell into human resources. I was doing some temp work. And I could had really great Excel skills at the time. And they said, we need somebody in Excel. It's at this natural gas, it's at an oil and gas company. And I went to work for Atmos Energy in their HR department. Well, I loved HR, but I was always the events person that said, hey, can we do, they had a special relationship with Salvation Army. I was the first one that signed up. Oh, we get to go do a soup kitchen. Let me do it. How can I organize? How can I be on that committee? How can I be in the employee engagement committee? What can we did, and this was back in the day when American Idol first started. We had what we called Atmos Idol, and it was great. It was a week of programming. I mean, everything from breakfast with the CIO or CX CEO to leadership engagement to, if you paid so much money, you got to put pie on your on a leader face, that kind of thing. Oh, you spent money and you got to wear jeans or those kind of activities. But from the earliest of my corporate world, I've always been involved with that. And I took that wherever I went, whether it's even if it was something like we got a employee day at the racetrack, we still had a charitable contribution to that. That has just been installed. How can we, oh, we have a big potluck dinner and we have so, or potluck lunch and we have so much left over. Hey, guess who packed it up and took it to the fire station up the street? That has just been something I mean, I'm passionate about. What can we do? I may not have a lot, but whatever I have, how can I share it? And I feel that just in the heart of my bones.
Very nice to hear. And I think that human resources department was very lucky to have you, all the folks who you impacted while you were there. Can you rewind a little bit? Tell me, as you went into college, what you were studying and what you may have thought, like, okay, what you may want to do.
So it's really interesting, or it's I had a I was a little bit of a troubled. I was 17. I was diagnosed with hypothyroidism, and if you know anything about the thyroid, it wait, and I went a little bit off the rails. It was just I went started at University of Kansas and came home and had to have thyroid. I had it removed, and then I went back, and it was a really rough time. Had skipped second grade, so I was young and I was immature. And I can say that now. So I really wasn't quite ready. I mean, I did the sorority thing and we had a charitable aspect there, but I wasn't ready to be at school. And I came home and took some time off and found myself in not the best situations. But when it was time to kind of get my head on straight, I really, was focused on giving back. I had been in some hospitals. I had been through counseling, and I said, I want to do this and I want to give back. I want to take my story of survival of that you can go through the worst of the worst and come back and be stronger. And I think that's always been an aspect of my life anyway. So when I went to, I finished at University of Texas at Dallas, it was in psychology. It was, how can I go into social work, or how can I go into using something that can give back? How can, I mean, some of my favorite classes were speaking to my peers and hearing their other stories. And we all have, you know, that there's a saying that says, well, you never know what someone else is going through, so be kind. Well, that's true. And some of us, some trauma is different than others, and there's no way to weigh it more than others. But if I can be there for somebody, or if I can give back in some way. So when I went to school, it was, I've had this journey. How do I give back, and how can I return the favor? How can I return to the world what has been given to me?
Nice. And so you studied psychology. And let me ask you, did you think at that point, maybe I'll work in like as a therapist or doing some type of direct service as opposed to what you're doing now at Aparo, where you're working for a capacity building organization? You know, we talk a lot about the difference between the work that we do at Aparo, where we're lifting up nonprofits so that they can do more, as opposed to having a career indirect service, whether it is as a therapist or doing something as a nonprofit directly. How do you feel working for a capacity building organization as opposed to doing that direct service?
So originally, I thought I would kind of be in a counselor in a hospital setting, you know, whether it was a specialist with rehab or it was a specialist with addiction or things like that. But then when I fell into HR, I call, and I was never, you know, I always did payroll or I did benefits. I loved, I'm the person that you call and say, hey, I'm pregnant. What do I do about FMLA? How do I change my life insurance? That kind of thing. And I called it the psychology of business. And then but I've always still volunteered. I was always on boards. I'm the one that planned the big Federation Young Professionals event. And so I always had that sense of nonprofit. And then it was, I really want more than just somebody else's bottom line. How can I make a difference? How can I? And I remember seeing the person that told me about Aparo. She was so happy to be here and she loved it. And I said, I'm not sure what my next opportunity looks like, but I want to feel like that. And being at Aparo with the capacity, the fact that we are not mission central means that we can help so many. So maybe it's the animals, maybe it's veterans, maybe it's homeless, or it's financial education, digital divide. I love that we touch so much. And we use the term amplify, and it's not a cliche. It's something that I truly feel that we live and breathe, that everything I do, it gets amplified to the community. And you know that there's a ripple effect. You know that you really are doing the most amount for the most amount of people, the greater good, the greater amount of people. And even though, you know, sometimes I'm stuck doing all the data entry, or I'm doing metrics for my team, or I'm helping another teammate with an event, you know that maybe that it doesn't feel it sometimes. You're like, oh my God, I have so much data entry to do. But you know that the ripple effect of what I do. And you know that I go to sleep tonight at night going, you know what? Somehow I made a difference. I know I did. And that is just my favorite thing about Aparo, as well as just the people I get to do it with, whether it's the staff or the tech leaders that we engage with, our sponsors that we engage with, the donors, the volunteers, and then just coming up with even sitting with the nonprofits. I don't get to do it a lot, but when I have the opportunity to hear the difference that we make, you go, wow. Okay, I feel really good, and I get to see it, or you read the blogs and you go, I feel really good about where I am and what I'm doing.
Nice. I'm with you. I agree with everything you said. I can feel the exact same way in the marketing department at Aparo, you know, but yes, hearing those stories of our impact in the community makes me feel fantastic of using my business skills for good,
Yes.
as I like to say. So at the time you heard about Aparo, were you still in that human resources role or something different?
So when I got right during the pandemic, I was laid off from my HR, my last HR, and I had to been doing payroll. And it was actually worked out in my favor because I was moving. I moved from Dallas to Charlotte in June of 2020, and I was part of the first round of layoffs, which means that there was enough time and I had a package and things like that. So there was a little bit of a cushion. And when I came to Charlotte, I said, all right, let's just find something to kind of, until I find what I might get my feet planted, I put some roots down. Let's find something that I can just bring in some money. And I was working as a kind of an office manager, bookkeeper. I've done accounts payable and things like that. I've always managed the benefit side of on the accounting side and worked with our accounts payable or things like that, done payroll. And so I went to work for just a startup company, and there was very little engagement. I was looking for opportunities. It was also COVID and coming out of the pandemic, and what does that look like? And I said, I need more. I need to make a difference in that's where that I know I'm making a difference in your bottom line, but I don't really care about the widgets we're selling. I love my job as far as certain aspects, but I'm not going to bed at night going, God, I feel good about where I'm going. And that's when I went on like a retreat and met the person who brought me here. And it was like, she was like, I love Aparo. We make such a difference. And she was so happy about it. And I said, I want to feel like that. And sure enough, within the first couple of days being here, I was working on one of our big campaigns, our double down with some phenomenal donors. And I thought, and then I was in the room with some digital leaders, and I thought, oh my God, it's the room where it happened. And if you hear me speak about my first year at Aparo, if I was more of a blogger, it would have been the room where it happened. The privilege that we get to be in the room where it happened with the nonprofits, with the tech leaders, with the staff. I mean, I remember the first staff meeting and we're talking about, we're doing some of our fun prompts, and you just feel this connection to people that you're like, we all believe in our mission. We all go to sleep knowing we made a difference.
Beautiful, it's true. It is very, very true. Do you so and you know how lucky we are to have you given the roles that you had and the especially the quantitative background, right? That comfort with numbers and Excel and all of that transitioned right into this role perfectly. And do you have kind of as we're coming a little bit closer to the end, any advice for someone who maybe, because if I'm not mistaken, then besides when you were 14, this is the first time that you worked at a nonprofit.
No,
Oh,
actually,
no? Oh.
I forgot to mention because it was during the road less traveled. I actually worked for the National Ovarian Cancer Coalition and at the Dallas chapter and put on their race and raised and doubled what we had done in the previous years. They had never done things like I mean, I asked for water stations. I love to do, I'm your hot chocolate race. I'm your walk for the cure. Can I get out there and do a 5K? Absolutely. So I took all of that and said, we need to make sure that this walk has all those components. Can we get water donated? And it was managing, because you also have survivor stories and how can we show the impact? And we did it. We literally doubled. I mean, they had made like I think $60,000 the year before, and we came in and we made over 120. And it was in the rain too. So it was just one of those like, how can we take it to the next level? And I really enjoyed that. It was just some times that I had to at one point I had to walk away. But this is so when I came to Aparo, it was almost like coming back to my roots, where I had dabbled in the nonprofit, where I had started in nonprofit, I had dabbled it, I had kept it going at the corporate level. How can we be engaged? And at times when I had been between opportunities, I had come back to nonprofit. I have worked or volunteered at soup kitchens with working with HIV patients. And I still talk to some of the clients became my friends, and I still check in on them. Of course, the volunteers that were worked alongside me were there. I say I got my soul back. I had worked in a really toxic corporate environment, corporate HR environment, and I said I need to take some time off. Took a sabbatical, and that was the food pantry, and it was unbelievable. It was, I feel so good. I'm making food. I'm hosting. I was the one that would welcome, I'd get there in the morning, we'd make everything, and then I'd go out and I'd greet everybody. And I just, that difference that you make a difference when someone comes up to you and says, hey, You were so kind to me the other day. I was having a bad day, and you just said hello and talked to me like a normal human being. And I felt good about myself. And I go, that's not why I'm here, but oh my God, thank you. And we get that. And that's the best thing about nonprofit.
Nice. Thank you so much, Karen, for sharing that. I mean, it's really for you, nonprofit, regardless of where you work, supporting nonprofits and doing social good has just been woven into your personality from the beginning, it sounds like. And it really wasn't, while it was a little bit of a pivot, to come from what you were doing, it really does not seem like much of a pivot at all. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and thank you to everyone who listened, and tune in for the next episode of the Aparo Effect coming soon right here. Thank you.